Welcome to Healthy Cooking with your friendly Italians. I'm Jim Barrow.
And I'm Marilyn Barrow.
And we are pleased to have as a guest today Lisa Van Bergen, who is a manager of the historic Reds in downtown Seneca Falls, noted for many, many things, but as far as Jim Barrow is concerned, the best damn hamburgers you're ever going to taste. And we are going to get the secret of those hamburgers. So welcome.
Thank you.
We also have got some recipes. We've got some recipes for baked chicken with a salt rub, which is very interesting, steamed clams with beans and Italian sausage, and a no-fuss baked penne with meatballs. So that's all coming. And if we have enough time, we might talk about our enjoyable weekend of traveling through the beautiful Finger Lakes and getting drunk.
No. Well, trying a few of the wines.
Trying many of the wines.
Indulging.
All right. Well, anyways, let's get to the heart of this thing. Reds and Lisa, and Reds is the oldest restaurant in downtown Seneca Falls, and you came aboard how many years ago?
Well, I've been on and off for many years, but three years this past September 21st, I left my previous career to come back and join Marcia in managing the restaurant.
And we'll have you know, everybody that's here today, Jimmy, me, Marilyn, we all were at Reds having lunch.
I love to hear that.
And I
was just there as well.
Yeah, you were there. Well, let's start with the history of Reds.
I think this is a very interesting history to have someone, you know, have a business in downtown Seneca Falls this long.
Yeah.
And your father basically had started at Muldoon's, which was another restaurant.
We got to talk a little bit about
that. We got a lot of history.
Yeah.
Muldoon's, or actually it was Spenton's Grill.
Oh, Spenton's Grill.
Across the street where... Actually, half of it is Sinacropi Florist.
Yes.
And the other half of it is the bank at this time.
Okay.
We purchased it from Tommy Muldoon in 1972. We had that for 4 years until the bank decided that they were going to purchase the building. So they needed the half of the building. And it's actually kind of funny. If you go over to Sinacropi Florist, you can still see where the original bar was in the back room with the original tin ceilings.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's actually kind of fun to be over there and look at that. But so we had to be out June 1st of 1976. So we closed down for only 3 months because we purchased Bobby McGee's on the other side of the street, which is now the Reds, and we opened in October of 76.
Okay.
So we've been there. So... a long time.
Yes, you have.
And you have a lot of very, very happy people that go to Reds and eat and drink. And let's talk about some of the wonderful things that you serve at Reds.
Okay.
And let's start out with your hamburgers.
That's Jim's favorite, obviously.
They're the best. They're absolutely the best. And I'm going to get back to you with the secret. I want the secret.
Okay.
And then Mom comes in and she does all of the soups.
Marcia does all of the soups
and the
homemade.
These are
all homemade, so we really are going to say they're they're much more healthy than having
a
canned soup.
Right?
Yes,
right.
A lot less sodium.
Right.
And they're very good.
And every day you have specials, and you have chili all the time, plus the soups, and you have special nights, taco night.
Monday night is $1 taco night.
Ooh, and your chicken wings are on Wednesday night. Those are very good.
Yes.
And you have 30 beers on tap?
We have 30 draft beers on tap. Right. And we try to keep some local breweries or New York State breweries on tap, as well as the local favorites. We actually added an additional 10 drafts to the lines 2 years ago.
Okay.
So that way it gave us the opportunity to put a lot more local crafts on.
Right, and there are more and more local crafts springing up all the time.
The number of breweries that are opening up, it's incredible, because where we saw the boom in the wine industry and the wineries around here, now you're seeing a lot of local breweries open up.
Yeah, and you also, for us old farts, She opens up for us to have coffee in the morning.
Can you imagine Lisa look at her and my husband and his friends and listens? The conversation, Lisa, that has to be an interesting conversation in the morning.
I have learned some interesting things about men's health. Yeah, there's definitely been some interesting moments there, but it's fun. You know, it's fun to hear the history, to find out what's going on with these guys. And I'll tell you what, they talk just as much as women, so.
Gossips as much as women.
They gossip as much as women.
I yes. think they do.
All right.
So tell us a little bit more about the history of Reds. Now, you know, it was mostly a bar, you thought?
I think a lot of people consider us mostly a bar, tavern, mm-hmm. That serves lunches, local fare. But like we were talking earlier, we've been in business since 72.
Okay.
Really have only been closed down twice in history, and that was once when we moved from there over to the local, or to where we are now, and then back in 2006 when we had the fire.
Right.
The kitchen was closed for 3 months. Bar was still open, but the kitchen was closed for 3 months, and we reopened December 18th that year, right before Christmas, so we got it. But, you know, we've been continuously open for 44 years.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, same owners.
Serving good food, and a lot of people might not realize this, but it is famous for another reason. It is where the Men's Hall of Fame started.
This is an interesting time. When the Hall of Fame opened at its present location, mm-hmm. I had helped Joe Doyle and George Sewin were on the board, and Becky Holden was president at the time, and I helped raise money at that time, and we had a press conference. George was going to make this national news, so he asked all the national press corps to come, which included television and print. You're talking about the New York Times, you're talking, you know, NBC, whatever. And they're here for the weekend, because it was a total weekend. So we get over to the press conference, and the director at the time says, they're asking her questions, and someone asks her, well, I just noticed that there's a Men's Hall of Fame across the street. So she grabs me, and she says, do something with them. So I said, well, you know what, after the press conference, let's go over to Red's and have lunch. Obviously knew that her father would be delighted to have them, would be more than gracious as we walked in. And we talked about the hall opening with your father. Mm-hmm. And this sort of, I mean, it got in the papers, but it wasn't the headline that we all perceived was at the opening of the National Women's Hall of Fame were the Hall of Fame, but your father was so gracious and wonderful.
So there we are. We have a Women's Hall of Fame, and we have a Men's Hall of Fame.
Now, you said the men can just put whatever they want to.
Well, at times they believe they can. that happened one night. It was 1979.
Right.
Happened one night. Now, they used to have this, back in the days, they had these big signs that you slid the letters in.
Right, right.
And Dad had always kept the letters in a little box behind the bar to change his daily specials. Right. And lo and behold, somebody got a hold of it, and it became the Men's Hall of Fame. So, you know,
so it wasn't your father's idea by any means.
He just kind of went with it, but that was his personality. Dad went with everything.
Right,
he was kind of
he was a very nice man.
Yep.
Yes,
kind of.
And your mother's been wonderful.
Yes,
you know, all these years, and
she has to be. She had to be the business person. Dad was that one out. He was the public eye, public figure.
All right, it's time.
Okay.
Hamburgers. Best. What's the secret?
I don't think it's not locked away in a box kind of secret. It's an Angus blend. So there is
quality of the meat.
Fresh, obviously. We have it delivered a couple of times a week. And the biggest thing I really think is that a lot of times we're making them as they're ordered. He doesn't make up a lot. We don't freeze them. You know,
I think not freezing them is huge.
You can't freeze them. Not if you're going to have a good burger. You can't freeze them.
You can't overwork them either, can you?
No, loosely packed. And then, you know, we had talked with Jim earlier that, you know, his thought on why they're so spectacular is the Jerry's got his special cover them and keep them pressed and keep them. You don't turn them too many times either. You just turn them once.
Yeah.
And it's very simple.
Jim's not the. I've heard that they are the best burgers by several people. Jeannie Giovannini thinks
no
they are
seasoning.
Too.
You just have to the right meat and.
So look at people. It's mandatory.
You have to go try them now.
You got to go and have a hamburger at Red's.
And then I just heard from someone else, another friend of mine, that thinks your wings on Wednesday are the best wings around.
The wings are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a simple I would assume.
Simple. I think a lot of it is the size of the wings. You want to make sure you have good wings. We've tried different from different vendors, and we've really been lucky. You know, we've found a couple of distributors that really have good product. And again, we have them delivered 2 to 3 times a week. Again, having them fresh, never frozen, never partially cooking them. I know it's hard for people to wait that 18 minutes to get their wings, but that's the secret. You can't pre-cook a wing. You got to keep it fresh and serve it as soon as it comes out of the fryer.
There you are. You got it, people.
And I will tell you, the sauces are made, a lot of times the sauces are made to order.
All right, good.
Which, you know, the cooks have their special sauces that they've come up with, and a lot of the customers have come up with their own special sauces. So every sauce is made to order. As soon as it's ordered, you know, everybody's is fresh and made right there.
Well, we're very fortunate to have Red's. It's a place that is a gathering of the local people and then people, the tourists come in and there. It's a great place to go, so enjoy it. Let's talk a moment about the history of Muldoon's.
Okay.
And the character of Muldoon's, and this is where your father worked.
Uh-huh.
I know their pies were great. I remember eating liverwurst sandwich, and he would give you a slice of liverwurst, this thing. Excuse me. But things that I remember is he would walk in there, and in there would be the president of Gould, and all these businessmen would come in, and you have the local workers in. And Muldoon would go over and go to the president of Gould or whatever, and says, "You wait. You got time. I'm going to feed the working people first, and I'll come back and feed you."
Yep.
And they accepted that.
And they didn't accept women for
a
while.
That's right.
Carol Ritter, I think, sat on his door for about a year. I mean, she is the one, as a reporter, she is the one that broke the cycle. But I don't know how long it took her to do that.
I can tell you, I believe, the history is that... I think it was Joyce
Sinicropi
was maybe one of the first women that was in there for lunch. And she was telling me the story about it. It was actually after Dad had passed. We had gone over for flowers, and we had sat down, and we were kind of reminiscing, and she's like, "I was like first woman that they allowed in there." And she kept saying, I don't know if I should be in here. But that was after my father had taken over, so it was a different
ball.
Right.
You know,
right.
He still had a little of Tommy Muldoon's beliefs and, you know, feed the working class, but, you know, women at that point, my mother was not going to have that, so.
Right. Well, but I know Carol it's been mentioned that Carol did a lot of really trying to get in there and finally did.
And then I remember Tommy, when he went to pay the bill, and he said, "How much do you owe you?" And he would say, $6.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy behind him had the same thing and would say, $6. No, it's $8. And that was just the way he was.
Yeah, if you were wearing your suit and tie, you got charged more. Yeah, the good old days.
Right.
Well, anything else you want to add to what we talked about?
You said
about
you had some dates about
You know, I have the timeline. We spoke a little bit about it. Being in this location since 76, so we've had several remodels. We've undergone, I believe, 1983 was the first one. Okay. Charlie Kelsey and his crew came in.
Okay.
And when we first took over the business, it had the orange shag carpet in the back, the old stage. There was no coolers. There was no kitchen. So we went through a remodel in 87. went through another one. Second renovation was in 97, where we added on in and under the kitchen, did a little bit of updating, taking it down to the tin ceilings and exposing the original ceilings in there and the brick walls. And then in 2006, when we had the fire, we had to, you know, we had to add it onto the kitchen and updated there. But if you're from town and you are familiar, you could see the timeline. If you could see the timeline and the progression.
And the booths, you changed the booths.
Yeah,
and
it's been fun to see. I was looking through the pictures today and to look through it and see, you know, where it was when we purchased it to where it is now. It's kind of fun.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it brings back a lot of memories to people that leave the area and then they come back. And
most people do want to go back to Redsmith.
A lot of people come in.
It's very important for Seneca Falls to have Reds here. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's really great. I got some recipes that you can scan down, and we have a recipe for a baked salt rub chicken on a bed of lemon slices. And the secret it's easy to make. You do this in 30 minutes, but you're going to take this aromatic salt.
Yeah, you have to make the aromatic salt.
Put it in a blender and mix it all up. And then you can store it. It'll last for 3 or 4 weeks, and take it and rub it all over the chicken and under the skin, wrap it in a piece of plastic, put it in the refrigerator overnight, take it out, brown it on both sides, put it on a bed of lemon slices, put it in the oven and cook it off, and it's done. And it is really, really good.
And the rest of the salt rub can be kept in the refrigerator. You can make that and use it on other things, too, because it does have some flavoring in it.
Well, it's got some rosemary in it. And, of course, you have with Jim
the garlic.
Garlic.
Right.
So that's a nice recipe. Also, baked penne with meatballs. This is a really easy dish to make. You go ahead and you cook off your penne. You can make your own sauce. You don't have to make your own sauce. Get a bottle sauce. Pour that into what you're going to cook it in. Go to Wegmans. Get the frozen meatballs. You don't even have to thaw them out. You don't have to brown them. Put them in the sauce. Let that cook for about 20 minutes. Put your penne in with it. Put some ricotta, some cheese, a little olive oil. Stick it in the oven. Top it with some Parmesan cheese. Stick it in the oven, and you're done.
And that reminds me, though, another favorite dish of a lot of people is your meatball sandwich.
Yeah.
People go there all the time, don't they?
They make their own meatballs.
But you make
Well, we don't make our own meatballs anymore. It got when we're making several hundred meatballs a week. But we did. We actually settled on a really good recipe that we have stuck with for years and years that are really good. But the sauce is keep it simple.
That's right.
It's all about keeping it simple.
Right. Well, I picked up these. I'm a food snob, as you well know, and I for some reason picked up these Wegmans frozen meatballs. And I said, in a pinch, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
I've come to the point. I'm not going to make meatballs anymore. They're that good, you know. So it's a nice way to go. So that's a real easy thing to do. Your kids will love it. It's a great dish. The third dish we have is you're going to take some clams, you're going to steam them, and you're going to put some beans in it. You're going to puree some
cannellini
of the beans. You're
going to
put
yeah.
Italian sausage and celery and steam those off with a little water and wine in them, and get a loaf of bread. Glass of wine and eat that. You really can't go wrong. It's a great, great dish.
So we always try to bring some recipes in that are simple, somewhat healthy. I don't know. Jim uses an awful lot of olive oil, but we would like to get back to.
This has been my nemesis all the time. I always had this healthy cooking, right? And so I would give recipes, and Marilyn would be there, and she's very honest about things, and she'd say, Jim, those aren't healthy.
Well, basically, you cook fresh food. You know, he doesn't use processed kinds of things. He tries to keep the fat out. You know, could be a little bit more, but that's okay. But I think if everybody tries and makes sure that we have enough vegetables and enough protein and whatever.
Yeah.
So I think we should get back to Lisa for a few minutes and see if there's anything else that you would like to bring to our attention.
I just really want to, I want to focus on good, simple cooking. And we were talking about healthy cooking and keeping. It's funny because we've been doing the sauce with the spirals and meatball sandwiches for, God, as long as I can remember.
I don't remember you not having them. Over the years.
There's some recipes that we've gotten away with, like my dad, you might remember the cream cod.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, that was my favorite. But nobody orders that anymore. So we stopped doing that. But really, the soups have always been the staple. My mother's New England clam chowder
is good.
Excellent.
All of our soups are good. Why don't you tell us some of the soups that you told us about her clam chowder, some of the other soups that she makes.
Okay.
That are
she does the vegetable beef soup.
Yes.
Okay. Which she actually starts at home. Her secret is she starts it at home the night before she makes it. She cuts up her beef, marinates it, gets all of her veggies. So then she brings in the base in the morning, and that's where she starts that from. But she's got the recipes, but she really kind of wings it. She's been doing it for so long.
Well, when you've done it that long, you're not going to look at a recipe. I mean, she's been cooking those for hours.
She'll try new ones now and then, but she does her vegetable beef, her chicken noodle.
Right.
Our Italian wedding soup.
Right.
Our bean soup, which was actually my father's bean soup. They used to soak the beans for a couple of days before you could even get the bean soup going. And then we have the New England and the Manhattan clam chowder, which we alternate Fridays. Then she'll go off and she'll try different ones. Like two local favorites have become the stuffed pepper soup.
Yes, that was on the menu today.
Yeah. And the cheeseburger soup.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does do a fantastic broccoli cheddar. She does a French onion, which is, she cuts up all the onions and nothing's frozen. Never anything.
That's the secret.
Yeah.
Good, simple food. So you go on in. It's getting cold.
The soups will be wonderful.
Have a bowl of soup, a draft beer. What else do you
need? Don't forget the nights. I mean, they do have the taco nights in the
Dollar wing. Tacos.
Yeah, dollar tacos. Right. I mean, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And, but it basically, it was mostly business people coming in for their lunch. I mean, that was the major business for years and years of your father's business.
Yes, it was Gould's, Sylvania.
Right.
Eisenhower was a big base across the street. And a lot of the industry that has come and gone. But we still see a lot of, I see a lot of faces that, since the time we were kids and running in and out.
Yeah.
I still see them coming in. Right. Local lawyers, businessmen,
bank people,
lots of bankers. So it's nice to see that you have that base, that local base that,
and everybody feels at home there.
Yeah.
And the staff are wonderful. Yeah. They're friendly.
Yeah.
Jim goes there a lot.
Three, 4 times a week. Sometimes 2 meals a day.
There you go.
And we appreciate everybody's business.
With Jim or I go with my painting buddies. We come down and have lunch, Abby and group,
And it's funny because we know everybody, we know everybody by name, pretty much everybody by name,
right?
They walk in, we know what you drink, Half the time we can order for you.
I know.
Right. But that's what makes it so homey.
It does. It makes everybody feel very welcome.
And all the customers, and it's funny because a lot of the customers know each other. So, they'll come in and it's a lot of times everybody's chatting with everybody.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a great atmosphere. And we've had people who've come in from out of town who have said they felt like a superstar when they came in because everybody, they're greeted, people in town were wonderful. They were chatting. They didn't feel out of place. They didn't feel uncomfortable.
That's great.
Yeah. The only thing you got to do, though, you got to get John Panucci out of there.
He's going away for a couple months. His trip to Florida. And then everybody's leaving me this winter.
Except
for George.
Right. We don't have time to talk about our trip, but just tell you we did we go out and enjoy this beautiful weather. Now it's getting bad, but the wineries are great. There's 130 some of them there.
We were on roads. We went down to Keuka Lake, and just the amazing number of new wineries and breweries and distilleries. I mean, all of a sudden, it reminds me of Napa Valley that we went and visited years and years. I would say 30 years ago we went through Napa Valley. This almost looks like it. Every time I go through, I'm amazed at the number of, I mean, you have all the old that we remember their names, but there's a new one the time.
And we had lunch at Heron Hill, and Heron Hill sits up on a hill overlooking Cayuga Lake. And we sat outside and had one of the best dry Rieslings I've ever had, and had lunch. And the trees were all getting their color in them. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of good things around here, people, and you should take advantage of them. We'll talk sometime in the future about the new Ithaca Commons that has just opened up or reopened, and what's down there. And we've got to mention that the induction ceremony last week of the National Women's Hall of Fame sold out. It was a great, great experience.
Jim taped the whole thing. If you really want to see a rerun, you can find it on fingerlakes1.com.
And it's inspiring.
It is inspiring. It always is. Yeah.
So, and tomorrow, last day.
We think it's the last day of the farmer's market because we've been pushing the farmer's market, I think.
Yep.
But, you know, again, if you can find local fresh food, please try to use it. Farm to table is always a good idea.
Well, this has been super.
I was so glad to have you, Lisa. Right. It's wonderful and reminiscing.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Well, Lisa actually went to school. Were you around one of my kids' times, I think?
Yes.
Matt, the
he was
youngest.
A little bit older, but.
But he was around that time, yeah.
Absolutely.
So.
And next time, we're going down to see our son, who's going to be down in Charleston, South Carolina. So we're going to go down there, but we'll get back to you. And we'll have some more shows. And if we don't drown going to Charleston,
if we can get there,
if we can get there. So you have a good week.
Once again, Lisa, so thank you for coming.
Right.
I
thank
was
you
very
for
enjoyable.
Right. Thank you for having me.
Right. Ciao.